Day it is today, and what a wonderful day to come together to worship and to hear God's words today. And as our brother read from chapter 10, I ask you just to remain there as we will be dwelling on in this section today. If there is one illustration that God uses throughout the Bible to show his relationship to us, the one that pervades the most throughout the Bible, it is this imagery of the shepherd. Probably the most common passage that we are familiar with, or as we had just sung earlier, Psalm 23, when we say, "The Lord is my shepherd," that not only believers, but I'm sure that those who are distantly familiar with the Christian faith can perhaps recall that about this passage, or about God being our shepherd. And as we come to John chapter 10, we have the privilege to hearing Jesus himself expounding on this metaphor to us. And what does it mean for God to be our shepherd, or what does it mean for Christ to be our shepherd? And perhaps another reason why this passage is so precious to us and very beloved to all of us is that it contains two of Jesus' great I am statements when he says, "I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd." And each of these powerfully speaks about how Jesus is our Savior. Now, before we proceed to going through this passage, maybe let me just outline this discourse, the shepherd discourse, for us so that it'll make it a little easier just to know how, just to unpack Jesus' flow of thought here. In verses 1 to 6, which we'll be focusing on mainly today, Jesus opens his discourse with a parable to illustrate how we can know who the true shepherd is. Throughout John chapter 10, Jesus stresses how important it is to know who the true shepherd is. Because in light of what we had read in John chapter 9, after Jesus healed the blind man, and after the Pharisees, the religious leaders who were considered the shepherds of Israel, Jesus shows that unlike the Pharisees who claimed to be shepherds, but in truth, they showed they were not the true shepherds. Jesus says, "I am the true shepherd." And we see this is unpacked throughout from verses 1 to 21. But Jesus gives us the principle first in verse 1 to 6, talking about how can we know who the true shepherd is. And then from verse 7 to 18, Jesus applies that principle as he unfolds who he is. What does it mean for him to be the gate? And what does it mean for him to be the good shepherd? And then in verse 19 to 21, we conclude with the people's response. So today we'll focus on just the principle or the parable in verse 1 to 6. And we will look at what does it mean for Jesus to be the true shepherd? How can we know that Jesus is the true shepherd, unlike other false shepherds that comes about? To that end, let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer and let's ask the Lord to help us to understand. Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you for this time. And Lord, we thank you for this beloved discourse, this of how you show us that you are our true shepherd. And Lord, we ask that as we see this, that you would help us, oh Lord, to believe and to know that this is so. Lord, cover the sins of the preacher, I ask. And Lord, we ask that your words will go forth today. Lord, give us eyes to see, but especially, Lord, give us ears to hear so that we may hear the voice of the shepherd this day. I ask in Christ's name. Amen. What are the marks of a true shepherd? Jesus gives us three things here from verses 1 to 6. And the first thing that we have to look for is their character. The first mark we have to look at is their character. We find in verse 1 to 3, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Contrast is often the best way to help us to know what is the true thing and what is the false thing. And throughout the shepherd discourse, Jesus uses contrast to distinguish between the true and the false shepherds. In verse 1, Jesus begins with telling us about the false shepherd, or the character of the imposter. Rather than coming through the doorway, through the gate of the sheepfold, the imposter jumps over the fence that is meant to keep outsiders out and to keep the sheep within the fold. By calling them a thief and a robber, Jesus is saying that this imposter has selfish, malicious intentions. We would say the same if a person tries to enter our homes by any other way except the main door. If they try to break through the window or try to go even through like the back entrance, like if they do not go through the main door, then we would be suspicious of the person who comes. In contrast, Jesus explains in verse 2 and 3 the character of the true shepherd. Unlike the imposter who trespasses, the true shepherd enters through the gate. And to reinforce this point, Jesus mentions the gatekeeper who opens the door for the shepherd. In other words, the true shepherd is approved by the gatekeeper. The true shepherd is approved. He is familiar and known to us. And in the same way, God is not strange to us. Though we are not in any position to approve whether God is our shepherd, God demonstrates that he is our true shepherd by how he has known us beforehand. Like for example, when God revealed himself to Israel, he says that he is the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. That God had a personal history with his people. And we see that in this parable of the Good Shepherd, that one thing that the sheep can know that this is their true shepherd is that the shepherd knows them by name. He personally knows them by name. And in this way, the sheep is not just one among the flock. The shepherd personally knows each and every one of you and I. So much so that Jesus is able to give that parable of the lost sheep, saying that if 99 were lost, no, the other way around. If one were lost out of the 99, God would seek that one lost sheep, climbing every hill, going through every valley, and looking through every nook and cranny to find that one lost sheep, because he knows each and every one of them by name. We are personally known and loved by God, just as he knows all the stars in the skies and knows each of them by name. It is the same with us. This is how we can know that Jesus is a true shepherd, that by his character, by how he knows us, and that he is not strange to us. He is not that imposter that climbs over the gate, but he goes through the true way, which we would expect. Having considered the character of the shepherd, the second mark that we can know is by his voice. We read this in verse 4 and 5. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Most, if not all of us, remember when passcodes were not the only way to unlock our smartphones. Now we have facial recognition, fingerprint recognition, maybe voice recognition, all for the purpose to ensure the phone knows who its rightful owner is. Now, while technology has certainly advanced in this area, we see that recognizing one's rightful owner is as ancient as this passage shows. We can know that who our true shepherd is by his voice. And we see again here in verse 4 to 5 that Jesus compares the true shepherd and the false one, or the true shepherd and the stranger, by his voice. Let us start with the true shepherd in verse 4. Jesus says that the sheep knows his shepherd's voice and follows behind him. Now note that the shepherd is not behind the sheep, driving and forcing them along. In contrast, Jesus describes the shepherd in front and the sheep behind, following the shepherd. And the shepherd is leading them by his voice. Maybe to help make this a lot more concrete is with a classic family movie some of you may be familiar with, Babe. And sometime after Lydia and I were married, she caught me up on this classic movie that she said I had to watch. And I was glad I did. Undoubtedly, the most endearing thing in this movie is how the pig became a sheepdog or a sheep pig. And unlike the sheepdog that would bite and drive the sheep to go wherever they were forced to go, we see Babe the pig guiding them with his voice with his very polite voice. And now in a similar way, the shepherd guides us by his voice. But probably different from Babe, who politely requests, the true shepherd has the authority to command us and to guide us so that we may obey him. In other words, the sheep knows what the shepherd is telling them. Now you may ask, how can I know or hear God's voice? How can I know what he is telling me when I cannot see him? Let me answer this by asking you, do you know your Bible? Do you know his words? Do you know what he has written and what he is saying to you? This is God's voice to you. That whatever he commands and whatever he promises, this is how the Lord leads us. But there is another thing that Jesus says about the shepherd's voice. Not only does the sheep know what he is saying, the sheep knows who is speaking to him. Jesus says the sheep follow him because they know his voice. The sheep knows the voice of the shepherd because they know their shepherd. If one of your family members calls you on the phone and you didn't know it was them beforehand, most of you would oftentimes recognize their voice the moment you hear them. Now, if I were to ask you, how can you tell it is your mother? How can I tell you it was your father? Or how can I tell you if it was your son's or daughter's voice? I doubt any of you would say it was because of the inflection of their tone or the pitch of their voice, although that could be a contributing factor. But rather, you probably would tell me that I know the voice of my parents. I know the voice of my son and my daughter. In other words, the main reason you know their voice is because of your relationship with them. You know their voice because that is your father's voice. That is your mother's voice. That is your brother. That is your sister's voice. In the same way, Jesus says the sheep knows the shepherd's voice because he is their shepherd. Do you know God's voice in that way? Do you know God's voice in that way? Do you know his voice as a shepherd who cares for you? Do you know his voice as a child instinctively and intuitively know his or her parents' voice? If you aren't sure how to answer, Jesus illustrates with the sheep in verse 4 saying, they follow their shepherd. If you know God's voice in this way, you will trust whatever he promises he gives to you, and you will obey whatever commands he speaks to you. We will know that God is our God by how we trust and obey him. This is the ideal picture Jesus gives us as he portrays the relationship between us and the Lord. Just as the sheep knows his voice and follows him, we are to know God's voice by trusting and obeying Him. I like how Ted Tripp defines in his parenting book how true obedience is when a person does what he is told without challenge, without excuse, and without delay. And in the same way, like, do we trust God in such a way that do we listen to His voice in such a way that we would trust Him and obey Him? Now, this is not to show that because the parents are mean or rash, or to say that God is mean or trying to be harsh with us. But obedience is a way that we show that a child obeying or a person obeying the Lord shows that they instinctively trust the parent who seeks to shepherd their heart. And in the same way, a person who knows God as their shepherd will love and follow Him with all his heart, soul, strength, and mind. Now, if the sheep is to know the shepherd's voice in this way, what about the stranger in verse 5? Jesus makes a sharp contrast. The sheep does not follow Him. And to sharpen the contrast even more, Jesus says the sheep will flee from the stranger. He will bolt in the opposite direction. The sheep does not sit on the fence and decide whether to follow the stranger or not. No, they will run as far away from Him as they can. I found it interesting that when I was researching on this passage that they said that even if a stranger tried to dress up as a shepherd and imitate the call of the shepherds, the stranger only succeeds in causing the sheep to run away. They do not recognize the stranger's voice. Or maybe, I am sure that if any of you were to dress up, talk, and act like, if any of you own a pet, and someone were to dress up like someone who owned a pet, maybe like one of the Wilsons with Pippin's dog, with their dog Pippin, you would not be able to fool their dog Pippin that you are actually their true owner. Although I'm sure Pippin would probably come to you anyways and demand your affection, whether you're a stranger or not. But not so with the sheep. They will flee from the stranger. What is the main reason? It is because they do not know the stranger's voice. Again, it is not because of the tone or the inflection. Rather, the sheep knows that the stranger is unfamiliar with him. And especially if the stranger is a thief and a robber, the sheep knows that the stranger means harm for them. In the same way, when we encounter anything contrary to what God has said and spoken, if we notice deceit behind the words, we are to flee from them as far as possible. This is why the Bible instructs us to have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths or any different doctrines, or to devote ourselves to teaching does not help us to trust and obey God's words. Now, this is not to say that we are to seclude and isolate ourselves from the world, because that is impossible, and nor this is the biblical way to live. Rather, the Apostle Paul says that when we deal with those who disguise themselves as angels of light or as servants of righteousness, that we are to take every thought captive to obey Christ. And we are to be ready to punish every disobedience. We must have two different kinds of antennas to discern two different kinds of voices. We must know the voice of the shepherd. We must know, and we also must know the voice of the stranger. We must know whom to follow. We must know whom to flee. We must have our hearts steeped and eager, our hearts steeped and eager to know God's word and obey Him. And at the same time, we must filter whatever we hear and see from the world through the grid of scriptures, so that we will be ready to forsake and flee whatever would entice us to disobey God. This is how God says we must relate to Him as Him as our shepherd, and we as his sheep. Now, before we come to the third mark, we must note a problem first. Even though Jesus explains what the true shepherd is by his character and by his voice, Jesus' audience fell short of knowing their true shepherd. And we read in verse 6, when John says that, "This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them." The tragedy is that the Jewish people back then, God's people, could not recognize the voice of their shepherd. And this is the same with us. And this reveals to us how far we have fallen from that, from the ideal illustration that Jesus gives. Now, to help us see this, we shall just look at a few Old Testament passages, and particularly in the prophets. One of them is in Jeremiah chapter 50. And in verse 6, Jeremiah explains how fallen the sheep are. Jeremiah explains how fallen the sheep are. There are many passages in the prophets, but I just want to highlight this one because it speaks very vividly about what it looks like. Jeremiah says in chapter 50, verse 6, "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray, turning them away on the mountains. From mountain to hill they have gone. They have forgotten their fold. All who found them have devoured them, and their enemies have said, 'We are not guilty, for they have sinned against the Lord, their habitation of righteousness, the Lord, the hope of their fathers.'" See how this is totally opposite of what Jesus portrays in his parable. Not only have the sheep rejected the voice of their true shepherd, they have followed the voice of strangers and considered them as their shepherds. They considered strangers as their shepherds instead, as if our antennas are tuned to the wrong frequency. And as a result, they have wandered outside the fold of God, and now they are devoured by their enemies, by their sinful desires. When we forsake God's promises and commands, when we listen to the voice of our own sinful desires, at first, it seems that they are leading us to life, but as the Bible says, as a sheep that is led to the slaughter, that is who we are when we listen to the voice of strangers. You remember in the book of James how he describes sin. He says that each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Sin at first seems like a wonderful shepherd, but in the end, they lead us to the slaughter. The words of this song puts it well when it says, "I once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way. The sin that promised joy and life had led me to the grave. Instead of green pastures, it leads us into a desert. Instead of streams of living, instead of still waters, it leads us to rushing waters where we will be swept. Or it leads us to a dry brook where we are left parched and left to die." Sin is never a good shepherd. They always lead us to death. Next, if you may turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 34, just two books after Jeremiah, we see this issue compounded with another grave issue. Not only are the sheep fallen, the shepherds are fallen as well, God's appointed leaders. And Ezekiel paints this in quite a vivid way. And we read from verse 1 to 10 just to capture the force of how fallen the shepherds are. "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, "Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there were no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or to seek for them." Maybe I'll just pause here, because that captures enough just vividly how fallen the shepherds are. Instead of feeding the sheep, the shepherds are feeding on them. Instead of leading them to graze in green pastures, the shepherds are grazing on the sheep instead. And that was exactly what was happening during Jesus' time. That you recall the Pharisees in chapter 9, instead of helping the man who was formerly born blind, they expelled him and for the sake of upholding their traditions and their status. Instead of serving, they thought they ought to be served. And this is why Jesus in John chapter 10 distinguishes who are the true shepherds and who are the false shepherds. But this is not only a problem during Jesus' time, and sadly, we see even in our own church's history that, like, if you think about during the Reformation, that when the church, the Roman Catholic Church at that time were selling indulgences, that they were taking advantage on the people, that they were giving them the hope that they can buy, they're giving the hope for the people to buy their loved ones out of purgatory, out of hell, when in actuality they could not. And what did they use the money from the indulgences instead? They use it to build, to feed themselves. And while we would not name issues at this time right now, but the issue is clear, that instead of serving the sheep, the shepherds are expecting to be served instead. Any of us who would serve in any spiritual capacity must take heed of this, because God will give his severe condemnation to those who would take advantage of his sheep, of his people. Like, whether we serve in a camp, in church, or whether we are shepherding even our own families, do we seek to feed our own flock, or do we seek to be fed by them? Do we seek to serve or to be served? Do we seek to build one another up or to build ourselves up? And sadly, we know that many of us have blown it at many times. And many of us know that we have blown it. We are like that fallen sheep who have gone astray. Follow strangers as our shepherds. And those of us who are shepherds, that we have sought to feed ourselves rather than to feed those who are under our care. And if this is the case, what will God do? This leads us to our third and final mark of the true shepherd. We must know who is the true shepherd, his identity. Now, before we turn back to John chapter 10, if you're still in Ezekiel chapter 34, I want to continue on reading in verse 11, because God gives a prophecy about who is this true shepherd. Starting in verse 11, we read, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness, and I will bring them out and will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of their country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall their grazing land be. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Note whom God says that will shepherd the people, and I hope you caught the emphasis here. God says, I myself will search out for the sheep and will seek them out. He says, I will seek my sheep. I will rescue them. I will bring them out. I will feed them. I myself will shepherd my sheep. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with justice. We cannot avoid it. The identity is unmistakable. God himself will come. Not metaphorically, nor just simply through the prophets or through the king. God promises that he himself will come down on earth to shepherd his people. And with that reason, I invite you to please return with me to John chapter 10, because we see how Jesus fulfills this. Now, we will not unpack all of John chapter 10, the rest of chapter 10, because there is much we can glean from here, but allow me just to read just the remainder of John chapter 10, beginning in verse 7. And we see Jesus filling in that third mark as being that true shepherd. He says, "So Jesus again said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Again, we will unpack this in future Sundays, but we can't help noticing how Jesus applies that principle from the parable. Notice that how Jesus contrasts himself from the thief and the robber. He says, "I am the true door of the sheep. I am the true and the good shepherd, not like these hired hands. If you want to know what who the true shepherd is, look to me." But there is something more from this passage. Remember when Jesus says that he is the great I am. Now when he says, "I am the door, I am the good shepherd," Jesus is not simply acting on behalf of God here. No, as the great I am, Jesus is the God of Israel who has come to shepherd his people. Jesus is God who has come to shepherd his people. And by saying, I am the door, Jesus does not only show us what true life is, he is the path of life by whom we walk through. And by saying, I am the good shepherd, Jesus shows his good character by laying his life down for the sheep, by dying on the cross for your sins and for mine. And the best news of all is that 3 days later, that Jesus says, I have the authority not only to lay my life down, but to take it up. And by rising from the dead and now reigning in heaven, he is now our chief shepherd. By dealing with our sins once and for all, our false shepherds, when we have been shepherded by our own sins, Christ has dealt with that once and for all on the cross, so that he now reigns and rules as our chief shepherd. The Apostle Peter puts it best when he says that, for you were straying like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. This is how we can come to know Jesus as our true shepherd. And we see how Jesus embodies all the three marks of the true shepherd here. And let me just close an application that let us consider how Jesus fulfills these three marks. Consider his character, the character of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. He lived a sinless life so that he can bear all your sins on your behalf. It is by his wounds that you have been healed. And so for this reason, do not rest in anything else to save you. Rest in his perfect life. Rest in his sinless sacrifice. If you do not believe, if you see Jesus Christ as the one who can, if you see him, that believe in him. Rest in his atoning work. Rest in his good character, because that is the only way that you can be saved. But not only rest in his character, listen to his voice. Though you have rejected his voice, though you may have gone astray, Christ has saved you so that you might know his voice as the good shepherd, so that you might trust him and obey him. So turn to him, repent from your sins. He alone can give rest for your souls. Christ alone can lead you to those good to the green pastures, and he alone can lead you to the still waters where you can find rest for your souls. But not only rest in his character and not only rest in his voice, but know who your shepherd is. God did not simply send you another shepherd or another prophet who would fall. God himself came to you in the person of Jesus Christ. So when you see Jesus Christ, you can know that he is God. And if you know that Jesus is that perfect shepherd, you can be assured that Jesus will never let you down. Jesus will never let you down as the good shepherd. As his sheep, Jesus is worthy of all of your praise, of all your devotion. May we come to know him as the true shepherd. Please join me in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you that when we were sheep that have gone astray, and when we have been following our own desires, or when we had considered sin as our shepherds, and even when we had failed as being good shepherds of our flock, of those who are under our care, Lord, thank you that your Son to be the true shepherd of our soul. And thank you that he laid down his life for us so that we did not have to perish, but that we might have eternal life. Lord, we ask that you would give us the ears to hear your voice even this day, and to know how wonderful and good you are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.